Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of At the Movies with William Fletcher. As per usual, I am your host, William Fletcher, and this week I am joined by Harry Jobson, as is
I'm back.
So for this week's episode, we are going to be looking at Ghostbusters to tie into the release of the upcoming Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, which is coming out soon when this episode will be going out. So Ghostbusters, I'm to lay my cards out, I'm not like the biggest Ghostbusters fan. Like, I don't know where you, we were talking like just a little bit before we started, but I think we both sort of were like,
yeah, I don't care for it. Like, I don't not, like, it's not that I don't care for it. It's just that, like, it's not something I'll go back and watch. I guess I didn't grow up with it. It wasn't something that, like, is big for me. Like, I don't watch videos about Ghostbusters. I'm not part of the fandom.
Yeah, I think for me, my personal sort of perspective on Ghostbusters is that a lot of people who like it, this is one of those films where I think it's a good movie, but I think it's bolstered by people who grew up in the 80s watching it. Like, it's one of those films that if you're like an 80s kid, you love it and you think it's a great movie. You think it's one of the best movies ever made, and you're not discerning, I guess. Like, we talked about last year Back to the Future. I don't know if we touched on this in the episode, but I think Back to the Future is a perfect movie. I think it's a movie you could release now.
Completely
the exact same, and it would be just as good then. I think anybody can watch Ghostbusters. I don't think Back to the Future, is coasting by on nostalgia. I think Back to the Future is a legitimately great film that anybody can enjoy, like, no matter when you were born. Whereas I think Ghostbusters is more of a, you kind of had to have been born around that time period.
You had to have, you had to have been around the hype that was the Ghostbusters to be able to truly appreciate it, I believe. Because I just feel as if the film, the IP, the franchise as a total, and we're going to get into it, but I feel like it just hasn't proved itself to work. But I think, I mean, that could be the case years moving forward with maybe some of those superhero films where it's like, that's what we grew up around, or, well, at least I did. My Ghostbusters was Sam Raimi's Spider-Man. Like, that's what I grew up with. I find that maybe in, what has it been, 40 years since Ghostbusters came out? Maybe in 40 years' time, Avengers may not age as well as it. I don't know. Whether or not it was only good because we experienced it as it was happening. And I think Ghostbusters is a really good example. You ask anyone from our parents' generation, would say Ghostbusters is one of the great films. It's one of the greatest films. But I watch it and I'm like, I don't know. I just find, we didn't grow up around it, it just...
Don't get me wrong, I like Ghostbusters. I think Ghostbusters, they're good movies, but they're not like, if I was to pick like my favorite movies from the 80s, Ghostbusters isn't anywhere near like the top of that list for me. Like, there's a lot of other films I'd pick before I'd pick Ghostbusters. I think Ghostbusters is, and I think it's a good movie, and I enjoyed it. And I did see the original too when I was a kid. My sort of history with Ghostbusters is I saw the original two taped off TV once each. I'd only seen them one time, and I saw the 2016 Ghostbusters in the cinema when it came out. And I didn't see Afterlife until very recently, just for the purposes of this. So that's sort of my history in having seen the Ghostbusters films. To touch on the original Ghostbusters, though, I do like it. One thing I found interesting about it is I didn't find it that funny. I don't know about how you felt, but I wasn't...
I grew up with Bill Murray being Garfield, so hearing him go, like, he slimed on me, and cats and dogs living together, and stuff like that, I'm just like, eh.
Yeah,
he was the funniest part of the film for me, but at the same time, I was like,
I like Bill Murray. Don't get me wrong; I think Bill Murray's a very, very good actor. Like Groundhog Day,
I love him in Groundhog Day. Yeah,
that's a great film and like an actually funny film as well. But I just didn't find this film that funny. I thought it was like very entertaining. I thought there were like moments where I was like, "Oh, that's like mildly amusing," but I wasn't like. This isn't a comedy that I'm like, oh, this is hilarious, where I'm like knee slapping funny, you know? It's just like, oh, it's like vaguely amusing, you know?
Oh, I just think some of the things is like a lot of the comedy comes from the context of the time period, which lays back into if you didn't grow up with it. Like the stay fluff freaking marshmallow man or whatever it is. Yeah, I just like didn't find that funny. I was just like, okay.
Yeah, I think that To get onto the cast, since we're talking about them, you know, you've got Harold Ramis in there as Egon, who I thought was very good in both the movies, actually. I thought people love Harold Ramis. And I mean, I'm a big Harold Ramis fan, but I mean, that is mainly because of Groundhog Day. Like, Groundhog Day is like, oh, that's the thing Harold Ramis did. And I'm like, that's a great movie. You know, whereas I don't like. Because I know he's a credited writer on the Ghostbusters films and everything, but I think Groundhog Day is very much the best thing like he was involved in, and I think he worked very well. I think overall, to me, you know, I mean, you also got Dan Aykroyd in there, who I also thought was all right. I think overall, none of the cast members in any of these movies particularly stood out to me. In terms of performances, like they were fine, like they were good performances, but they were not performances that I was like, these are great performances, like these are not performances that I would hold up as like great, like comedic performances or anything. They're just like, they're good performances, and that's not a problem. It's just, this is a film that like is so heavily praised as like a comedy, and then you watch it, then it's like, well, I'm clearly missing something. Again, I think we keep going back to this, but I think we didn't really grow up with these films, you and I, and you did kind of have to be there. And I think a lot of this film is loved as much as it is because of nostalgia. Yeah, I just think it's very much like, and I think the thing is as well is I don't want to sound like I understand things better than people, because I don't think I do, but I definitely think that this is a film, this is the thing as well. I feel like this is a film that obviously is considered a favorite among like a certain generation. Like, you are not going to find film students in 2024 saying Ghostbusters is this amazing film, because they're going to point to like other comedies of more recent, you know, and I think it, and that's not unfair. I'm not saying people aren't entitled to feel that way. It's just that it doesn't result in a film that I would like. This isn't a film I could see myself wanting to be like, oh, I have to rewatch this, you know? Like, it's like, I'll watch it again, but I'm don't like, it's not like a movie I'd want to own.
Yeah, see, with me, it's more so if I'm hanging out with some friends and we all want to watch a film, someone goes, oh, let's put on Ghostbusters, I will be like, yeah, no, and happily watch it. I never going to be the one suggesting it. Not that it's not great, it's just not something that I think will be part of my catalog. I could name you my 100 favorite movies, and I don't think Ghostbusters would be in it. That's not to say it isn't great, and obviously it has had an insane impact on media. I mean, Ghostbusters really sort of took visual effects comedy to a new level, especially around the 80s. I think that's amazing, but I don't know. I think the thing that I'm missing is that I just don't have context for the time. I don't have that nostalgic feeling, and that way I'm just sort of impartial when it comes to almost everything with the film. I don't think it was like, I have no real strong opinion on anything in particular.
There's no extra level to it. Like, if you were to pick out your favorite comedies, because you know, we've talked about comedies before a lot, and I think you and I, we both respond really well to comedies. Like, we both are very much like,
comedy is my favorite genre. It is one of the greatest. I think it is film's strongest genre.
Yeah, and I think that comedy, for me, I'm always far more in, like, comedy is the genre where, like, I always respond well to when it's done good. Like, well, comedy, like, yeah, when it's done well. I think that, you know, you and I, we've talked about doing some things about writing things potentially together. And I think comedy is something that we both have a lot of love for as a genre. And I think comedy in general is a genre that's,
yeah,
sometimes looked down upon and not, like, you look at, like, the Oscars, you know, how often do you see, like, comedies nominated for, like, major awards, you know, like, it's, you don't see comedy up for, like, major nominations or anything. And I think comedy is a very hard genre to be good at, and I think we both really connect well with comedy, and this just isn't a comedy I can connect with. I think that it's, I can see where jokes are, and I can see what it is trying to do and how what it's doing is funny, but
yeah,
it doesn't work in execution. It's the concepts that I like, but its execution is like half of what comedy is. It's how it's executed. It's,
no, no, I know what you're saying. I just, I feel like a lot of the comedy in the film hinges on, again, being there in the context of the time, or being like, it really does, the comedy for me doesn't, it just doesn't transfer as well as maybe other films of the generation. And like, it's almost a different style of comedy. This is almost really, this is white bread comedy, if that makes sense. Like, for example, and that sounds so pretentious, but it is just plain salted comedy. Like, it's Bill Murray, it's, and not saying that, again, Bill Murray is plain comedy, but he's just got a certain style to him that is incredibly mass appealing, and is almost the modern day of that, like, Avengers style comedy that I'm not a huge fan of either. One line is, yeah, here, no, zinger, I, here, funny, I, character, yeah, outrageous, yeah, yeah. Sort of thing. Whereas for me, something that I would find much more exemplary in the sort of comedy, which was done 10 years before this film was something like Blazing Saddles, or you look into that Monty Python. That sort of style of comedy is something I resonate with a lot stronger. And I think the Ghostbusters style, although it's entertaining, it's not, I don't find it very funny.
Yeah, no. I totally understand what you mean. Ghostbusters humor, the jokes they're doing, they're not really outrageous. Saying much, or they're not really, like, I think I respond to comedy that is, not all the time, of course. I enjoy, like, slapstick and everything, which is not really saying much of anything. But I do really appreciate comedy that's making a point, or is, like, I like satirical comedy I enjoy a lot.
Yeah, something like An Idiot Abroad with Carl Pilkington, or something where it's really just sort of, let's put this awkward guy into outrageous situations.
I prefer that comedy more, just because I think there's a lot, you know, and I think, and I also do lean more towards dark comedy. I'm more interested in comedy that is just very, like, yeah, quite, yeah, dark and you know, like, I appreciate that more. And Ghostbusters just isn't that.
It's living room comedy. Like, it's lounge room, it's family TV, sit down together, and you can all, like, dad can laugh, mum can laugh. No one feels offended. There's no real seriousness to it at all. Not that there has to be, but it's not really doing anything.
And that's fine. It's just, it's not comedy that I respond as well to a bit more. I mean, how do you feel about the visual effects? Because I think for the most part, they hold up pretty well.
Yeah, I think they hold up pretty well as well. I think I really, oh my God, just some of the set design I love. I like a lot of sort of the prop use as well. It's definitely that generation of, oh, the car is iconic. The fire station, iconic. The suits, the ghost containment, like, catches. Oh my God. Some of it is done extraordinarily well, to the point where it is so heavily impactful and iconic, and plays a massive part on sort of even the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. That is great visual effects for the time. You've got it. That's where I give this film its flowers. I think it looks great. I mean, there are a few things. There are a few ghosts. Then there's some of the ectoplasm and stuff where I'm just like, that's a bit goofy.
Some of the ghost effects haven't aged well, but in terms of practical effects, I think it aged remarkably well. The costumes, I think, the Ghostbuster-like uniform is iconic. The car is iconic. You can show that image to people who have never seen, who's never seen Ghostbusters, and they'd
probably be able to tell you.
Yeah, exactly. It's like the DeLorean and Back to the Future. Everybody knows what that is. It's like the TARDIS and Doctor Who. Everybody knows what that is. The Millennium Falcon from Star Wars. It's just an iconic vehicle. And I think that's where the film really works is the look of the film, like the effects and the production design and everything. I think the music is very solid. I really like the theme song they have. I think the great. I do like the film. I know I've been sounding a bit down on it. I do like it. It's just it's a film that is held in such high regard by like a certain generation of people that I kind of have to feel like I have to push back against it and be like, well, it's not that good, but I don't get me wrong. I don't dislike the movie. I think it's a very solid movie, but I honestly, all of these films, I don't have as much to say about these films. But I give the original Ghostbusters an 8 out of 10. I do like it a lot, but it is an overrated film, but by a certain group of people.
Yeah, I don't hate that rating. I give it a 7. I still think it's really great, but it's weird. I've got no feeling to it almost, and I feel like 7 is a really just appropriate middle ground rating for that. I watched it. And I think maybe it was because it was so overhyped that when I watched it, and I was just like, oh.
Yeah. And then we move on to Ghostbusters 2. And I feel like, again, a lot of my same fear. To be fair, a lot of people are not that into Ghostbusters 2. I think Ghostbusters 2 is seen as like, oh. Like, just looking here, it's got a 55% on Rotten Tomatoes, a 6.6 on IMDb. If I was just to compare that to the original film, the original Ghostbusters got a 95% on Rotten Tomatoes and a 7.8 on IMDb. So it's a big drop off in quality between the two. And I don't have that much to say about it. I don't think it's a particularly I don't hate it.
I feel like it need to be made.
No, I don't. Honestly, I would argue that none of these sequels needed to be made. I think that Ghostbusters could have just ended with one film, just could have been that one film, and then they just didn't make any more. I didn't even find it mildly amusing in a way that I found the first one to be. I didn't think...
Yeah, it didn't have a charm.
None of the performances felt really off. I didn't like the effects. I wasn't even as into as much, and it came out 5 years after the original. It didn't work. The only bit that I actually liked was that I really liked that I could point to from that movie. Also, to be fair, we have delayed this recording a lot, so I've forgotten a lot of stuff about these films because it's been like a couple weeks since I watched them. The only bit from the second one I remember is when they switch on their proton packs and they go
Ray. Yeah,
like that's the only bit I can pull to mind from that film. These films just didn't do much. This one really didn't do much for me.
I just felt like a waste of time. I feel like I'd already watched it. It's just let's change the villain up a little bit. Same film. But slightly worse in every way. It was like someone tried to make Ghostbusters after not watching it, but having it been described to them. And they were like, okay, well, we'll make a sequel. And that's what they did. So I found it like just flat. Like they're both sort of flat. The first one not nearly as flat as the second one. The second one not awful, but just I found myself going on my phone at times during the film.
I can see myself watching the original Ghostbusters again. I cannot see myself watching Ghostbusters 2 again. And I don't hate it. I don't dislike it. I don't think it's bad. I just don't think it needed to exist. I think Ghostbusters should have just been like a film that was made in the 80s that is loved by people who grew up in the 80s. And that's it. We didn't need more Ghostbusters films. I feel like Ghostbusters 2 almost feels like, you know how more recently we've been sort of getting like legacy sequels where franchises are just like, let's just make a sequel to a franchise that ended, you know, because we've got, you know, how the sequel Star Wars trilogy and, you know, sort of more recent stuff. That's almost what I feel like. I think that, and to be honest, the problem is as well is because something with like Star Wars or Indiana Jones or even the Sam Raimi Spider-Man films in No Way Home, I have nostalgia for those franchises. So I admit that, like, yeah, that's kind of not... Well, again, we'll get onto this more with Ghostbusters Afterlife, but I can understand, like, oh, yeah, I know that this is, like, kind of... This is obviously fan service, but I am a fan of these characters, so I'm fine seeing them again. I think this Ghostbusters 2, it didn't need to exist as a film. There was nothing... Watching it, it's like... They only made it, it seems like, because they needed money. Like, they wanted money. Like, that seems like the only reason as to why it was made. They were like, the original Ghostbusters, that first Ghostbusters did really well. Let's make another one so we can make lots of money. And I think that it just doesn't have anything that I liked in the film. Again, I don't dislike this film, but there is nothing about it that I'm like, that's a good movie, you know? I don't really have much to say on it, really. I think that these Ghostbusters films just don't have anything for me.
Yeah.
I like them, but they just don't... There's nothing about them where I'm like, this is, like, great cinema. You know, like, it's... This is okay cinema to me, you know. I know we've sort of not been talking about these films as much, but to be honest, there really isn't that much to these films, I don't think, to talk about. I think
these films... Yeah, no, I agree. Really, I find that the bulk of the conversation will be about the fucking atrocity that is the next film we're going to discuss. And this is coming from a guy who actively isn't like a Ghostbusters fan. I mean, that's where the bulk of the conversation is going to go. But these films, they're not specifically negative, but they're not... I'm not jumping with joy. I'm just like, yeah. For me, Ghostbusters 2 is like a 5.5.
Yeah, I give the original... I give the second one a 7, which is maybe a bit generous, but I don't hate it. It's perfectly watchable as a film. But it's not a film that I'm like, you know what, this is, like, good. You know, and the thing is, there really isn't anything that iconic. Like, the first Ghostbusters, the original Ghostbusters, there are some iconic things in that first Ghostbusters. Like, Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, that is iconic. So, you know, designs of various ghosts and creatures in that film, they are iconic.
They are iconic, yeah.
This second one does not have that, and it just has nothing for me that I'm like, there's not even much to say about it. Like, we're about to get into 2016 Ghostbusters, but there is a lot to say about it as a film, and there just isn't anything like that in the second one. So I give it a very, very generous 7 out of 10.
Yeah. Sorry about any noise moving forward, my neighbor, who's right next to me. Decided now would be a great time to mow the lawn, which he's entitled to do. So, yeah.
Yeah, well, hopefully it won't come through too badly on here. But now we move on to Ghostbusters 2016. So, I want to say up front, I did not rewatch Ghostbusters 2016 for the purposes of this, because I do not like Ghostbusters 2016, and I didn't want to watch it again. Now.
I did. I'd seen it twice before. Don't ask me how I saw it twice. It was a period of time where we didn't have internet, and we had Foxtel, and it just happened to be on. And I was like, oh, this is that Ghostbusters reboot. Oh, let me watch it.
Okay.
I was like, oh, that was really bad. And then my mom wanted to watch it with me because she's a fan of the first Ghostbusters. And I was like, that's not very good. But I watched it with her anyway. And this was the third time I watched it.
I think I've seen this film twice, I think. I saw it in the cinema. And I might have seen it at another time. The trailer for this Ghostbusters film came out, was immediately bombarded with hate by a vocal
neckbeard group
who, and here's the unfortunate thing, is that the fact that this wasn't good does kind of prove them right, and I don't like that.
Wasn't good because of the cast. I mean, that'll be the forefront of a lot of conversation. And it was like, is it sexism, especially with the things going on with Captain Marvel coming out later, and having similar sort of issues. Where it's like, no, because you look at Melissa McCarthy, Christian Wiig, Kate McKinnon, and Leslie Jones, they're some of my favorite actors. Melissa McCarthy. Hilarious. Like, I love her in things like Bridesmaids. Was she in Bridesmaids? No. Yes?
I think, yeah, she was in Bridesmaids, yeah.
Yeah, sorry. I have a long, sick day. But then you got, like, Kate McKinnon, great on, like, her features through SNL. Christian Wiig, iconic classic. I don't know. There are some really good supporting casts in the film, but I think ultimately the writing...
I want to say that it's not bad because it's a female Ghostbusters. It's not bad because it's a female car. That's not the problem with it. The problem with it is the writing is bad. And I think it's unfortunate because the cast, like the main four you mentioned, Melissa McCarthy, Kristen Wiig, Kate McKinnon, and Leslie Jones, all very good comedic actors. Chris Hemsworth as well. Chris Hemsworth,
he's quite very funny in this film.
Yeah, I will say
as the hot receptionist, he's the best part.
And I feel bad saying that because
he's like the only featured male besides Zach Woods.
Yeah, and it's like saying that the one male character is the only funny part of the movie does look bad. But yeah, it's not unfunny because there's women in it. It's just very poorly written, and I don't think, and the problem is this could have been very, very good. I haven't seen Bridesmaids, but I'm aware a lot of people like Bridesmaids. Like, Bridesmaids is a very well beloved comedy. It's very well reputed as a film. You know, it got Oscar nominated for its for the screenplay, I believe, and it's nominated for screenplay and Melissa McCarthy for supporting actress. So like, it was a very well received, respected film. And you know, Paul Feig, who was the director of Bridesmaids, directed this Ghostbusters film. You know, so it seemed like this could have worked, you know. And if I was just to look at, and you know, he's one of the writers on it, and I don't know the writer, I'm just looking her up, it's called Katie Dippold, and you know, she's written a couple things, Spy, the 2015 comedy with Jason Statham and Melissa McCarthy, which I've heard is, you know, actually quite good for what it is. I think because for the longest time there was talks of Ghostbusters 3 with the original cast. You know, it would have been a legacy sequel. You know, they were, and just for years, they could never get it made. You know, they could just never, the cast could never get together. You know, Harold Ramis and Bill Murray had fallen out during the filming of Groundhog Day. So they didn't get along anymore, and they didn't coalesce, you know, just couldn't come together. And then Harold Ramis, unfortunately, passed away in 2014. So it did sort of put the nail in the coffin of making Ghostbusters 3 with the original cast, because you just couldn't do that anymore. And I don't know, like, the full production history, if Harold Ramis passing away was the beginning, like, well, now we can make another Ghostbusters film, but we don't have to have the original cast as the Ghostbusters, because they're, you know, they can't do that anymore now. But I think that the film really, unfortunately, doesn't work, just because the jokes aren't funny. And there are setups for potentially very good jokes. I think there's a lot about it that could work, you know, comedically. But it just doesn't. And I don't understand why it doesn't work.
Because the charm of the first film is in its time. It's how I find it anyway. I find that the charm of the first film, which is what made Ghostbusters, like, loved, is the 80s, is sort of its period. Like, whereas now, this is an example of trying to take that and put it here with worse writing. And what makes it bad is the downfalls of, it's everything that's wrong with Ghostbusters.
it's taking the worst elements of those first two films and just distilling it into one film, just bringing all the things you don't like about Ghostbusters up to the surface. And I think that, yeah, there's just not much about it that is that good from a comedic level.
Yeah, you wouldn't catch me dead watching it again. It's just boring. It sucked. I was boring. It was painfully unfunny at times, and not even in a funny way. Like, it was just painfully unfunny. I don't know. To me,
and it's also nearly 2 hours long, and personally,
it's so fatiguing.
I personally am of the opinion that comedies shouldn't be longer than, like, 100 minutes. Like, I think over 100 minutes is too long for a comedy. I think 90 to 100 minutes is, like, the sweet spot for comedy. I don't know how you feel about this, but 90 to 100 minutes...
I agree.
...is the sweet spot for comedy. Like, pretty much every great... unless you're doing, like, an action comedy. Like, Hot Fuzz, I think, is about 2 hours, I think.
Yeah, but that one's different. Like, but you're looking at something like
pure comedy in a way that, I mean, and this isn't like a pure, because pure comedy, because Hot Fuzz is an action comedy, and I guess you could consider this an action comedy too, but it doesn't feel like there's enough material to justify 2 hours, and there's a lot that you could be like, we can take this out, you know. And I feel bad saying I don't like this movie, because I wanted to like it. I wanted to enjoy this movie. I wanted to be like, yeah, the female Ghostbusters was good, but it just wasn't. And that sucks saying that, because they had all the ingredients to make something very good. They had the cast, they had the director, you know, they had the crew, they had the, you know, they had all this stuff that's like, you have all the, like, everything is here to make a very good movie, to make a very funny movie, a very good comedy. And it just is, you know, you've got, like, you know, yeah, it's just unfortunate, because it's like, everything's there, they've got all the pieces for the puzzle, it's just they don't coalesce into a good film, you know. And it's unfortunate. And also the cameos from all the original cast members, I thought that was very lazy. I thought it was just like having Bill Murray. It just didn't work. It felt very, it's, I just, you know, you hear like people complain with like Marvel movies and that kind of thing about the cameos, but the cameos in this film are far, far more egregious than anything that the MCU has ever done in terms of cameos. At least that's my personal take, is that
yeah,
this feels really, really egregious. It's just like, hey, look, it's Bill Murray. He's in the original one. Hey, it's Dan Aykroyd as a taxi driver. You know, it just doesn't work as well. I just don't... It's just not funny. It's too long. The effects, I didn't think the effects, like, were actually that particularly amazing for 20s. Like...
Yeah, they didn't... Yeah. No, I...
But they're not bad. But when they put as much money as they did into this, you kind of expect them to be better? Like, I think...
No, I agree.
When you see... When they put this movie... So this movie had a budget of $144 million.
That's... Like, it looks like it has a budget of 25.
It's like, where did they put... Like, that is... That's like a very, very... So much money put into this film. And it's like, what is the... Because in this film, really, it's just the original Ghostbusters, but with women. Like, the exact same thing happens again, basically, right? They are trying to tell people there's ghosts. People don't believe there are ghosts. There's three scientists. One not scientist who... The not scientist is black. They've got a funny receptionist, you know, it's like, you've got the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, you know, it's just all this, and it's just like, this doesn't, this film didn't need to be made, because this film is not doing anything worthwhile. Like, there's nothing about this film where I'm like, you should watch this film. It's not even one of those films where it's like, it's so bad, you have to see it, or anything like that. It's just a film where it's like, there is no reason for anybody to watch this film beyond like being a completionist or something. But even then, it's not worth it, I don't think. And it's unfortunate that because it could have been a good movie, but it doesn't, and I give it a 3 out of 10. I think it's...
You've summed it up, and I don't want to speak on it really much at all. So, 3. I was going to give it a 3 from the outset.
Yeah, so then we move on to the final film we're going to discuss. Ghostbusters Afterlife. I didn't dislike it, but I didn't think it was that great. I thought it was very, very average.
I was just like, oh, cool, Paul Rudd. And I watched it, and I was like, I was so tired with Ghostbusters at the time. And I watched it, and I was just like, oh, it's more Ghostbusters. And it just felt like a cash grab. Felt like it doesn't need to exist. Better than what we've seen previously. It did make it its own, and I did enjoy that, but I was just so fatigued at the time, especially with the cast, and there was massive Stranger Things news at the time that I really just found myself unable to enjoy it. I was just, like, fatigued of everything when watching the film, and went into it with maybe a bias, but I was just sort of like, no, it wasn't for me.
We've talked about Spider-Man No Way Home on the podcast, and I think you and I, we are two people who grew up with Sam Raimi Spider-Man films. So seeing all the villains come back for No Way Home, seeing Toby come back, seeing Andrew come back, we were...
I pooed and cried my little heart out. I was so excited. Like, I actually cried in the theater.
Yeah. And we both Like, and I will admit, I still love No Way Home. I think it's, I still really enjoy it. I do admit, like, it's not like the, like, in terms of writing, it might not be like the best film or anything, but I think it gave me what I wanted, and what I wanted was to see childhood heroes of mine again. And that's what I got from it. And that's what Ghostbusters Afterlife is. It's, if you grew up with the ghost with Ghostbusters and you see Bill Murray and Dan Aykroyd and Ernie Hudson, and for some bizarre reason Harold Ramis, like they just brought Harold, they I'm personally kind of against that.
I'm strongly against it.
I think resurrecting actors is not a thing that should be done. Doesn't it feels very wrong to do that? And it's not like, I think with something like Black Panther, I would have been fine if they recast T'Challa, because I think that's a different situation. I think you can recast that role personally. Whereas I think this is which I think is not a problem, recasting roles if an actor has passed away, I think that's fine. But resurrecting an actor because they've died, I think is a bit. I'm sure his family signed off on it and were happy to do it, but it just feels wrong. And I think that it, because I was watching this and I knew that they were all in it, and I knew Harold Ramis was in it, and the way they are introduced feel is so weird because there's no setup to it. They just arrive and they're just there. Like, it doesn't make, they just sort of turn up as characters, really. Like, there's a bit where I'm one of the kids, she like calls Dan Aykroyd, I believe, but it just didn't feel earned, and I don't have the nostalgia either to overlook it. And I'm sure there are some people who do, but it just doesn't work as a film. It feels manipulative almost to bring back Harold Ramis, and because it's basically, it's sort of resting on the laurels of the original Ghostbusters. And I may sound hypocritical because I think No Way Home is great, but I think the difference is with No Way Home is it's not this, I don't think No Way Home is the same thing. I don't, because first of all, they're not resurrecting any dead actors, like they are, and they're also, the story does kind of rely upon Tom Holland's character to save the day, you know, it feels like, whereas I think with Ghostbusters, it's using the original Ghostbusters to help save the day. And I think No Way Home, Tom Holland, Spider-Man is the one that makes sort of the final decision to save the day. The plot is very focused on Tom Holland, Spider-Man. And I don't think it, what, like, it's like, this is almost like Ghostbusters Afterlife is sort of that, Spider-Man No Way Home, where it's just, it's a legacy film, but it just doesn't work. And I don't, don't get me wrong. I think up until that point, I enjoyed the film, but that moment was like, okay, this changed my rating from a 7 to a 6. That's my rating. But that final scene with the returning Ghostbusters, like, okay, you've just lost a point there. Because I thought, like,
I hated that. Yeah, I just found it, again, I found it a bit fatiguing. I didn't, there was nothing about it that stood out as directly negative to me. The cast, I thought, did a great job. You can't really go wrong with Paul Rudd, although there has been a lot of Paul Rudd over the last 5 years.
We talked about this with Kung Fu Panda, how I don't know if I kept it in, but The Rock and Kevin Hart were just in every film for like several years in a row. Awkwafina is just in every movie now, and Paul Rudd's like the next actor who's just in everything you see. And Pedro Pascal is like going to be the next actor after him, who you just see in everything.
Timothy Chalamet lately, I can't look at him. Every time I look at him, I can't get around it. But it the same goes with those Stranger Things cast, that actor, those actors that are in this film. But I just find that, I don't know, there's, I didn't, I really hated the resurrection of Harold Ramis. I hate when they do that with any character. This, to me, I watched it around the same time as I watched the last Jurassic World movie, and it's the whole uncovering the car and figuring out the secrets from the past and bringing it up to nowadays and living it now. And I just don't care. I'm so tired of the IPs just being rinse and repeat, and not having any reason to actually exist except to make money. Like, they're not telling a new story. I feel like they haven't been telling a new story for ages. And that's why I gave it, like, that's why I think it's like a 5.
Yeah.
Until you can give me an IP, like, for example, say something like Back to the Future, if they were to make a new one and it wasn't a completely new story, I don't think there's any reason for it to exist. The story's done. Let it go. The story was done after the first film. And every film since has just felt fatiguing.
Yeah, and I think, to be fair, I think with Back to the Future, they're not going to make another one until Robert Zemeckis and Bob Gale are dead. Like, I don't think they're, because they basically said, yeah, we're not doing another one, which is good, because don't make another Back to the Future, please. But I think once they pass away, they'll probably be like, okay, we're going to make another one now. I totally get what you mean. I think, because again, it legacy sequels are weird things. Like, the MCU, as we've seen recently in the MCU, they are bringing back, as they are, like, they are bringing, like, X-Men in, you know, all the, you know, X-Men characters. If you're gonna do that, if you're gonna bring back returning characters, it needs to be done well, and it needs to feel earned, and I don't think this film does that. Yeah,
but
I think,
let's say if we had two films before Afterlife set in the same universe-esque, and then in Afterlife they brought it back all together as a trilogy, then maybe it would have worked, but...
Yeah, I think bringing back the original characters... And again, this isn't something like Star Wars. Like, Star Wars, I can excuse bringing back Han and Leia and Luke, and I can go with that because it I think that works more. I think that kind of makes more sense as a, you know, I think regardless of whether you liked what they did with those characters, it made sense within the context of Star Wars. I feel like with this, though, it's just kind of like, oh, people didn't like the last one, so we're gonna bring back the original cast as, you know, Venkman and all that. We're going to bring them back because we know people will want to see it for them. The film's sort of selling itself on those, the cast, and I don't think it's, and you know, you could argue like No Way Home is, but I think No Way Home is different in that case because I think it doesn't feel like the villains are a big part of that story, but it doesn't feel reliant. It doesn't feel reliant on them in the same way. Throughout the course of the movie, like, you know, Andrew and Toby are in it, but you follow Tom Holland's Spider-Man throughout most of the movie. Throughout a lot of that movie. And they don't just appear at the end for, like, a quick cameo. Like, they are a big part of the movie, whereas the Ghostbusters, you know, being in it, are just like, oh, we can just have them in it. It's just we're doing it because we can. And I just don't...
Yeah.
Yeah, but I thought, to talk about other cast in it, I thought the kids were... I don't like Finn Wolfhard. I think he's actually not a particularly strong actor. I've not fully seen Stranger... Have you seen Stranger Things?
Yeah, I saw the first two seasons, and then a character, something happened to one of the characters. I'm not going to spoil it for you, but something happened to one of the characters, and ever since, I just decided not to watch it. Because I really liked that character. Yeah.
Yeah, I think Finn Wolfhard is actually a pretty poor actor. He was like in It. He's like the only kid in the It films that I thought was actually... I thought the rest of the kids in It were actually quite good. For kid actors, you know, they're pretty solid child performances. But I just don't think he's very good. I didn't think the main girl was particularly good. Look, I generally like Paul Rudd. But it felt like they were just like, hey, Paul Rudd, you're funny. We're just going to let you go, and we're not going to give you a script or anything to work with. We're just going to let you be Paul Rudd, you know. And as much as I like Paul Rudd, I don't, you kind of need, I feel like you need to give Paul Rudd a bit of something. You need to give him a bit of something to work with before you just fucking send him off to do, you know, and he just didn't really, yeah, work for me. And I didn't dislike Paul Rudd in it. I thought Paul Rudd was he's probably the best part of the movie, to be honest, but I didn't think that he was particularly amazing. I thought, like, the script, I thought was fine. I thought, honestly, the action, I thought was fine. The visual effects, I will say, I'll give it the film credit in that I thought the visual effects were very good for the most part. I didn't think any of the effects were particularly... I thought they you know, it came out 2021, but I thought it looked pretty solid from, like, a effects standpoint. I don't know how you thought... where you landed on that.
Yeah, it looks fine.
Yeah. But I just... Well, yeah, I have no investment in Ghostbusters as a franchise in the sense of they can do whatever they want with Ghostbusters and I won't feel aggrieved if they do something weird with it. Because, I mean, I don't in general, like Star Wars, I wasn't against what they wanted to do with some of the Star Wars films. But Ghostbusters is something where... I don't care what they do with it, but it also just doesn't work. And it's a perfectly fine movie. Like it's like an average movie. I mentioned my score at the beginning. I gave it a 6 out of 10. I think it's perfectly fine, but I have no desire to watch it again. Like the only Ghostbusters film at this point I'd want to watch again is the original Ghostbusters. That's the only one where I'd be like, yeah, I'll watch that. Whereas this one just is fine. It's, yeah, I don't... If I was to rank the Ghostbusters films from worst to best, it'd be 2016 Ghostbusters, then Afterlife, then Ghostbusters 2, then Ghostbusters. I'm not a big Ghostbusters fan, as has been made abundantly clear.
Yeah, for me, it's like one is the first one, two is the second, three is Afterlife, four is whatever the fuck the 2015 one was.
And so we are tying this into the release of Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. And before we started recording, you were watching the trailer, I believe you said?
Yes, I was watching the trailer.
And you didn't sound like you were particularly sold on it. You didn't sound like you were particularly interested in...
I was looking at it, and I was just sort of like, oh, cool. More returning cast. And more Paul Rudd. And more of the same, and it doesn't look like there needed to be. And like, if someone can give me a list of three reasons why this film needs to exist, I'll validate it. But I don't think anyone can, because they can't, because it doesn't.
I think, to be honest, the only reason this one exists is because Afterlife did well. I think that's the only reason why this film exists, because Ghostbusters Afterlife did decently well. You know, in a pandemic year, Ghostbusters made $204.3 million on a budget of 75, so that's a pretty solid, pretty good. But there's no point in this film existing. But yeah, Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, we will talk about it in the review of the year. So, in about a year's time, a little under a year, we'll talk about it then, and you can hear our thoughts on whether we liked it or not. And I'm not holding my breath for it, because I could see myself not being that big a fan. But yes, I hope you have enjoyed this week's episode. Harry, thank you again for joining me for this week.
Thank you for having me.
And we're going to... Yeah, we've still got... You know, Harry sure will be on more episodes this year because Harry enjoys doing them. I enjoyed doing them with Harry. And yeah, we've got some more some good stuff planned, hopefully. We've got some episodes upcoming that I'm looking forward to doing. But that's pretty much it. Listen back to the previous episodes. And I hope you enjoyed this one. And I'll see you all in the next one. Goodbye.